Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, February 12th.
Hi.
And we're sitting here after a couple of hours of rain, which we didn't feel, but we see the results of. And I like rain. Like you said, it cleans the air and everything.
I love rain. I think it's great. But people in L.A. really do fall apart when it rains.
Right. It's underrated in L.A. for sure.
You know, and also highways fall apart.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always notice, like, buildings, because it's sunny and dry here all the time. So when it actually does rain, in apartment buildings, like in wherever I'm shopping, there's always a place that's leaking that no one ever knew was leaking because it never rains.
Right.
You know?
They only find out when it rains, and then everybody calls the plumbers, come fix it, fix this, fix that.
Or maybe not, because they know it's just going to be dry again really soon.
But you know what? I mean, there's some crybabies. It's like, oh no, where's the sun? I'm like, fuck it. You know, you have the sun every day here.
It rains literally 5 days a year.
It really does.
Yeah.
And barely that, too.
Barely.
Only it rains when we sleep, so we don't even get to feel it.
I know.
But so it's a nice fall. It's not even spring. It's winter still, right?
Yeah.
Is February?
February's winter, yeah. March is winter. I think April is spring.
Well, I guess March 21st or something becomes spring.
Yeah,
right?
Very late.
So, yeah, I mean, February is supposed to be a very wet month here, but forget about it. You
know? It's rained maybe once every 10 days.
Yeah.
Which I think is still a lot. Yeah. Totally. And the rain here isn't like the rain where I grew. I mean, I feel like most places is kind of like where I grew up, where you get downpour.
Right. Like,
you know,
really stormy. And
really, really stormy. Yeah. The only place I know that I've lived that rains harder than it does in the Northeast area would be when I lived in Florida. Mm. You have torrential downpour for 30 minutes every day.
Oh, yeah.
Every single day.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Around 4
o'clock. So that's like heavier rain even?
Oh, it's pouring. Like, you couldn't see the house across the street.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'd love that.
It's amazing.
Call me crazy.
It's
I'd
amazing.
Love that.
But what's really cool about rain like that is you have like really, really interesting looking skies.
Right.
Here, the sky, I mean, look at it right now. It's blue.
It's blue. It's
that's it. It's
summer.
Blue. You know, it's wonderful. It's amazing most of the time, you know.
I know.
And our sun is white here. The sun here is not yellow. It's like bright white. Like, it's always blinding.
Yeah.
You always need sunglasses. I left my sunglasses at home the other day, and I had to drive, and I was like, the whole time, I was like, I have a headache already. Like,
really?
I can't. Yeah.
It is bright. That's true.
Yeah. But Florida skies right before it rains, amazing clouds.
Yeah.
Amazing. Mm. I used to love that.
Yeah. I'm telling you, there's nothing like the weather in California. You know what I mean? They don't just say it. You know, it's true.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally. Nothing like the weather, nothing like the traffic.
Exactly. You know, I mean, it'd be nice to have a little more rain, but for the most part, beautiful weather. We never have to worry about snow.
Or, yeah.
You know, things like that, you know. So that's nice. And
it's such an outdoor town, too.
Yeah.
You know, shopping malls, like the stores are inside, but the walking areas are outside.
Right.
And
a lot of malls now, they're making them where it's outside now, you know.
Exactly.
Like outside malls and stuff, you know. They seem to, because the inside malls don't seem to be doing very well. Not because of the pandemic, even before that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people don't seem to go. So when you go, like, in Woodland Hills, they open the Village and, you know, and Century City, their mall is open. And
yeah, I love that mall, actually.
Santa Monica, yeah.
It's nice. But when it rains, everyone's like, oh my God, we can't.
Yeah,
we
I know.
We can't go to the mall.
Yeah, for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Can't use the umbrella, God forbid.
I know. But, I mean, we in LA rely so much on hiking and outdoor activities, and you see active people everywhere.
Right.
You know, so when
but
it's raining.
But we're spoiled, that's a... We're spoiled that way, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Living in California is how you learn to spoil yourself.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You know? But I wrote something. I put a post up that I guess Disney are moving some of their operations out of California. And I wrote, Disney's moving too. And so there was a discussion about California. And people are saying, you know, what happened to that state? It used to be such a great place to be. And it's true. You know, I mean, I've lived here a long time. I've seen it change. I mean, I've been listening to Beach Boys music lately because it reminds me of the old times of California.
Yeah, of course.
You know,
I love the Beach Boys. They make me a little sad, though.
Why?
I don't know. There's just something
their
about
songs?
The tone of it. I love them so much, but I always feel kind of like a little somber when I listen to them.
Really? All their songs?
Yeah, all of them.
Really?
There's just a sound to it. I don't know what it is.
Wow.
I feel like it's like a movie scene or something. It's like... Yeah. I don't know. I'm not even going to say it on
maybe,
air. It's pretty
maybe
dark,
you,
but
maybe you listened to it when you were in dark times in your life or something.
Maybe.
And it reminds you of that because it's everything but, you know, I mean, my God,
know.
You know.
I know. And I think that's exactly the reason why it feels sad is because it's so happy. Like, I just feel like it's one of those, like, I don't know. What's that? I don't remember what song it was, but in Girl Interrupted, when the girl hangs herself, there's like kind of like an oldies song playing when she does that, and so sometimes oldies music I just like picture people hanging on in their showers for some reason.
Whoa.
That's really dark, but
it is dark.
What is it, 9 a.m
Yeah, I listen to Beach Boys, I think bright, you know.
Yeah,
California girls and surfing and all that stuff, you know.
It sucks because I love it so much, but it makes me a little sick to my stomach when I listen to them.
All right, we won't play it for you then.
No, we can.
In a few minutes, we're going to have a couple of guests calling in. Very interesting. We're going to talk about social media and influencers and everything. And suddenly everybody's an influencer these days, but some people have the receipts to show for it, you know. So
yeah, totally.
We'll see.
Everyone's an influencer, everyone's an entrepreneur,
right? You know,
yeah. But I mean, on one hand, it's kind of true because everyone's kind of a Jack and Jill of all trades and in between.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
But social media has made it easier for people to actually become famous,
yeah,
and be influencers, you know, and stuff. And I don't know, man. It's just like, it sounds like, you know, there's a lot of bullshit in it. But these people were featured in the show. It's on HBO Max called Fake and Famous, or Fake Famous. And so we'll see. We'll talk about them, talk to them, and see what real people actually do. Real influencers, you know.
Yeah, I bet that title was hard to hear for some.
Yeah,
for some Instagrammers.
For some influencers.
They're like, "What do you mean, famous?"
Everybody's got something to tell.
It's probably like an idea in the back of their head that, like, you know, they're getting all this recognition and fame, but they're not an actual celebrity, right?
Right.
So it, you know, we all sometimes in history have this imposter syndrome. Oh my God, am I really what I say I am?
Right,
you know, so when somebody says fake famous like that, I'm sure some people probably had a small mental breakdown. Yeah. Thinking about that.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. I don't know, you know, I mean, I just read actually yesterday this TikTok star killed herself, you know, 18 years old.
Who is it?
I forgot her name.
Oh my God,
I forgot her name.
It
was in the paper, or was it on the internet? I can't remember, but she's 18 years old. You think you would know her?
Yeah, probably.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Oh, wow. I know TikTokers pretty well.
Oh, wow.
Dazaria Quint Noyes.
Yeah, that's the name. She called herself D or something, I think.
Oh.
Yeah. That's sad, you know. I mean, the thing is, these kids don't know how to handle all this fame, and you know, you get a lot of exposure, and you have all these trolls online, and it's enough that one or two people tell you something bad, and you're like, oh, my God.
But here's the thing is, like, I know it's really hard to deal with that. At the same time, we have to hold ourselves accountable for, and it's not easy and it takes practice, but we have to hold ourselves accountable for what we're doing. Like, you know, growing up, that celebrities are in the tabloids, and tabloids are maybe true, most likely not true. And that there's always people talking shit on people who are in, people talk shit on people even in high school.
Right.
So when you have it on a grand scale, when you have the giant school of life, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, the world is pretty much annoying high schoolers making fun of each other. when you're on such a grand scale, you have to just anticipate that there's going to be haters. There's always going to be haters, whether you're small time, medium time, or big time. And you just, like, if there's anyone listening right now, like, just know that haters are going to hate no matter what. And it's up to you whether you want to listen to it or not. And you have to find the work that you have to do on yourself to get past it.
Right. And ask yourself a million times if this is really what you want. Do you want to get famous, you know, because it's not easy. I mean, look at people like Britney Spears still to this day. I mean, she's in the news now dealing with not being able to handle fame.
Her conservatorship.
Right.
I just watched her documentary
last night. She's not in charge of her fucking money, you know? Yeah. I mean, what the hell is that?
Have you seen the Free Britney documentary?
No. Is it good?
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was a quick watch. I watched it last night.
Yeah, I want to.
I mean, the thing is, people want fame because they think everyone's going to love them, but...
Right. It all comes from Daddy Love Me, you know? I mean, it's like, where else would you find... it's like everybody wants to be loved, and that's, I think, easily probably the main reason why people do that, you know?
But also, people are going to turn on you. All those people that love you might turn on you, and while they are turning on you, there's already people that don't like you, no matter who you are.
Because it's not love. It's not. It's just... maybe admiration, or not even that. They just follow you, you know.
Yeah, totally.
To follow you to see what you're doing. They don't love you. They don't know you.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm on TikTok sometimes, and there's a lot of really supportive people, and there's a lot of really not supportive people. And that just comes with the territory. People have to understand that not everyone is going to have a positive perspective. People are dealing with their own shit, and they're going to take it out on you and take it out on each other. And that's just the way people are. And I feel like if I ever do, I don't know, quote unquote, make it in the acting business, I would want my career to be like Tom Hanks. Like, you never hear anything about Tom Hanks. The last thing I heard about Tom Hanks is that he had COVID, and I didn't hear anything about him before that. You know, like, you just never, Tom Hanks is never in the tabloids, I feel like, you know, but I feel like female actors are in the tabloids for sure.
Plus,
a bit
you're talking about really young people, you know. I mean, at 18, what the hell do they know? They can keep telling themselves all day that the trolls don't matter, but they do to them, you know. I mean,
yeah, of course.
Everything is amplified, like you said.
Because it's their whole world.
Right.
You know, I mean, when you're in high school is your whole world. So when someone's saying something about you in high school, it feels like that's the whole world. But when when you're 19, you're like, what, a year out of high school? There's so much more out here than like these stupid people.
I know.
Like, so much more.
I know, but the new generation doesn't understand that, and they pay, you know. They pay. I feel bad for them, you know.
Yeah,
it's not an easy time to be young right now.
It's not,
you know.
It's not. But condolences to her family and friends.
I know. So do you go on TikTok sometimes with videos? Do you put videos on there?
I have put videos.
Yeah.
But I don't really use it consistently.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how I want to use my platform. I don't really want it to be like an inside to my life. I want it to kind of showcase my acting stuff, if anything. So I do a lot of characters, like kind of SNL, like Mad TV type stuff. Yeah. So I'm putting together a portfolio of characters to do for that.
Oh, that's nice. That'd be cool. I'll have to watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah. You don't want to really reveal too much of yourself. You know, I mean, people can always use it against you and stuff.
Yeah. Cause especially when it's so personal. Right. I mean, look, acting work is very personal, but when you're actually, it's different being a character and being yourself.
Right.
Caller.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you,
no,
but the guests are calling in. So we're going to take the call right now. And good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Jen. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, y'all. This is Rick Shermer and Rachel McCord.
Yes.
Hey.
How are you doing, guys? Rick and Rachel, thank you so much for calling in this morning. We were looking forward to your call.
Rick and Rachel sounds like a TV show.
Honor.
Yeah. You guys, you met when? A couple of years ago or a few years ago, right? Where you guys met each other?
Well, we actually met. We met about 8 years ago, and we've been married for 7. So we were very fast. We were very fast and furious with our love affair.
Yeah, he liked it, so he put a ring on it.
Yeah,
I was a bachelor for a long time, and I was like, hey, you know what? One of these days, I'm gonna meet a girl who, and when I meet her, I'm gonna know immediately. And I was absolutely right. As soon as I was a bachelor for, you know, over a decade, and incurable bachelor, as many people would call me. And when I met Rachel, literally that within a day, 2 days, I hung it up. I'm like, all right, that's the girl.
Wow. Yep. And what were the circumstances? How did you guys meet for the first time?
Oh, we actually were at Sundance Film Festival. So I work on, as you guys might know already, I work on, a lot of movies campaigns. So I do viral marketing and influencer marketing. I'm kind of a pioneer in the space. And I was out at Sundance Film Festival, and we, as I usually go every year, working on some indie films. And I ran into this one over at a party, those big kind of cool mansion parties they have at Sundance, Deer Valley and stuff. So I was at one of those. And in fact, we were not even at a Hollywood version of the party. It was the next morning. We woke up. And I was literally...
Okay, we were not... Okay, let me just preface that.
You didn't wake up together.
Good point.
We had rented like a three-story home, and we had mutual friends. So I was staying in one wing, he was staying in the other, and he was name-dropping so hard. Like,
that's a really...
That's a necessary distinction. Yeah. He's like, oh, I've worked with Angelina Jolie and Johnny Depp and Chronicles of Narnia and on Harry Potter. And I was like, listen, B, I've worked in Hollywood for years too. My sister's an actress. I know the game.
You're just eye rolling at him.
But then we talked really deep and like really built a fun relationship.
It was actually really cool.
We've been starting companies and making a baby ever since.
Yeah, I saw that in the research. How old is the baby now?
He'll be 9 months this next week, actually. So
it's
really precious. We're having so much fun. I think we're finally in a state where, like, oh my gosh, we're actually parents. It's been like 9 months. Yeah.
Took you a while to realize it, huh?
Yeah, I definitely started to feel official. I have like I got the dad belly, you know. COVID's had us locked down anyway, so I got the dad belly plus the COVID belly. So now I gotta now that it seems like COVID's at the end of sight, I'm now like at the gym again, trying to get my body back in my suit.
Cool. There
like,
you go.
Hey, so you guys, by the way, Jen, did you take a recent trip to Israel?
I was in Israel about 5 years ago.
Not too much.
When I was doing research and looking you up, I think you were just talking about it, or maybe you and Sam were talking about it.
Stalker deep 5 years ago.
I was just like looking, digging around.
That's okay. He's doing necessary research. It's okay.
We all research each other.
Rich and I love Israel. We went a couple summers ago, and we stayed there for, I don't know, about like 10 days or whatever.
Yeah, we had the best time.
It wasn't long enough. We loved it.
Totally. Yeah.
The country brought us out to talk about some of the small beauty brands that are based in Israel. And we got to go on some of the farms and see the natural ingredients that they're using with a brand like Levito. And I mean, just so many. We just went all over. I fell in love with Jerusalem. I literally got a tattoo, which is a little contradictory, I think, to the culture. But I fell so in love. I had to get the word chassid, which I'm sure you probably know better than me, but it means grace in Hebrew on my arm, and it's one of my favorite things. So Israel forever changed me. I can't wait to bring our son there.
Right. I love that.
It was awesome. So, I can't wait to go back. But
this is funny that you mentioned this, because I looked at a couple of the pictures and I saw you had a tattoo like right on the opposite side of your elbow, right on the inside of your elbow.
Yeah.
So I saw the picture and it looked like three Hebrew letters, but it was blurry. I thought, I wonder if this is in Hebrew, you know?
Yeah.
And now you tell me that it is, which is amazing, you know?
Love that.
Yeah.
Very cool.
You've got a good eye. You can spot
Yeah, I'm
it.
Telling
yeah,
you. I spot these so things incredible. Everywhere. Yeah, I know. So, guys, let's talk a little bit about what it is that you do. I saw the movie Fake Famous the other day, and so that's why when we got the PR release from you, it caught my eye. Now, you guys were in the movie, right?
Yes.
Okay. Were you guys part of the, when they were taking the girls out to the desert and stuff and taking pictures? Is that the part?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So just a quick background. I'll tell you, how that whole trip came about. So I have a company called Viral Brand. And so we specialize in viral marketing, and influencers and celebrities are a really big part of viral marketing strategy. So for us, we've been in that space for about 20 years, the early pioneers. We've been doing it since MySpace. I was like 25 years old. I'm like 45 years old now. Uh-huh. But Rachel is an influencer. She's been a model, supermodel all over the world. You can sure you Googled her. But as her social media account's grown, she really just wanted to care most. She cared most about helping girls and gathering girls. And she created something called the McCord List. And it's for girls who are creators and influencers in Hollywood. And she cares all about helping women and empowering women. So we started doing these trips and photo shoots to basically help women come together and collaborate and, you know, sort of encourage each other. So, you know, we do this trip, those photo shoots pre-COVID, we do this photo shoots about once a month. Oh. And so we had this really cool photo shoot that we put together for Vegas. And we actually got reached out to by HBO, and HBO said that they were doing, they wanted to consult with us and then also wanted to bring a girl on our, I say HBO, the production company affiliated with HBO.
Right.
Nick and his crew. And so they were like, yeah, absolutely, because we're, you know, all about our industry and super excited to help promote and promote other women. And so that's really Rachel's passion. So when they came out, you know, we opened them with big open arms. But what we did not know is that they were planning on making a mockumentary versus a document.
Right.
And so they kind of bait and switched us and our whole crew. So I'll let Rachel talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, right. I think what's really hard in any scenario, obviously, like we work in entertainment, you guys are in entertainment, you understand as soon as the ball is out of the hand, it's gonna do its own thing, of course. Sure. But I think in general, because Rick is so passionate about helping brands succeed, especially small businesses, and with COVID, so many have been hit and affected. And my passion has been helping my friends who are fellow influencers and celebrities work together and succeed and create brands. So I think it's a little hard anytime you have a documentary or a mockumentary come up and poke fun at an industry that works really hard to help other companies grow. Right. So we architected the entire show with WWD Magic. We do all the panels and we bring celebrities and influencers there. Like we've had everyone from Tori Spelling, Delilah Bell, Amelia Gray, to Jamie King, and we just
did. Anyone record your sister? Yourself, by the way.
but me and Brie Bella. So I interview them on stage and things like that. And so what's important to me is always bringing empowering opportunities for creatives and creators to come together and support one another. So obviously, you know, when the show came out, it was a little bit surprising. But, you know, I feel like it's important as entrepreneurs to support these small businesses and support these creators who work really hard.
Well, and I think that the thing that I would say is that we need to remember that, you know, these girls, women, ladies, theys, whoever, whatever, these women who are part of the McCord List are really small business owners themselves. These are girls who've come to Hollywood. They've come from all over to make a name for themselves, to create a brand. And so we really have a lot of a huge heart around supporting them. And I had a single mom, so I just have always had a passion for helping women as well. So I've been able to hold Rachel's arms up and you know, her mission. So I think that what we have to remember is that these influencers, you know, are small businesses as well. And right now it's more of a time for us, you know, in this kind of like as COVID's come to a close and people are trying to rebuild, to have everybody lock arms versus be divisive. So I was a little disappointed, to be honest, to see the one-sidedness, you know, mockumentary that Nick put together.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, it got quite a bit of negative reviews as well, which is, you know, maybe deservedly so, but because it did take just one perspective on this whole thing, whereas obviously a lot of people are legitimate, like you guys are, and you've seen it for yourself. You live it every day, and not everybody's a fake, you know. And people have to understand that, you know. And
that's so true.
Well, you're right, Sam. That's a great point, Sam. And I think that, you know, there is a dark side to every industry, right? So I think that there, you know, every industry, there's always a darker, there's a shade, it's just the nature of the world, right?
Right.
But the reality is that you know, these women, I think you see it. It was unfortunate that Nick didn't grab a hold of that, but the director of the film, because when you watch the show, there's a moment where the girl, what's her name again? I'm going to blame Dominique. Oh, Dominique, yeah. So where Dominique actually comes to the trade show, right. Which is magic, and she's like, wow, these girls are working really hard
right.
and creating some really cool partnerships with these brands. But Nick, like, leaves that narrative on the floor and proceeds with his mockumentary.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the thing is when people succeed in stuff, you're always going to have haters and things, you know, because they're jealous because they think, well, these people don't have anything to offer that's concrete. But that's not true at all. You know, I mean, there's a reason why people follow them, you know.
For sure.
They obviously have something to say.
Absolutely. And I think the important message here is to remember that, you know, for you guys personally, right, you have an audience, you have people who look to you for education, empowerment, connection to leaders. And I think that the thing that kind of gets lost when you have a couple of bad apples and they're, you know, fraudulently representing themselves, there's so many brands, again, who are trying to reach influencers, and a lot of times they get burned. But if you think about the cost for a small business to go out, create samples, to go and pitch influencers, communicate with them, ship product to them, get responses back, you know, chase down posts, it's a lot of work. That's why Rich does so great with viral brands, because they do that on behalf of brands, and they've been very successful at it. In fact, one of our favorite collaborations has been with a brand called Birth, and, you know, we've worked with everyone, you know, we've got like Kylie Jenner and Khloe Kardashian and all the way through to some of my friends.
About 1,000 influencers supporting Burst right now.
Yeah, and I think in some of those cases, you can really see it because the brand goes viral, right? And it's really exciting. But I think the more documentaries come out that are sharing the other side is so important. And we want to challenge HBO to share that, to share the message of these small businesses. I mean, I can't even tell you guys. Yesterday, I had an amazing mama who has a brand called Healing Mama, and she gifted me when I was going through postpartum with the baby. And now she's struggling because she's gifted, you know, different influencers and done different things. And she's, you know, kind of...
By the way, that was a whole postpartum care kit. Like, it was this cool box. And that was a scary time for us. And, you know, and the reality is, like, we opened this box and this lady had all these postpartum things that you would need for, like... I'm so specific, Jen. I don't know if you've had a baby or not, but...
No. Like, he has an adorable dog. That's yeah.
I don't have a dog either.
What's that?
I said, I don't have a dog either.
Go on.
You don't have a dog?
She's got two cats.
I do. I have two cats, though.
Go on.
You what?
I have two cats, though.
Oh, that's so funny. I was looking at the wrong Jen. My gosh, it's so funny. It's embarrassing.
No worries. No worries,
anyway,
man.
I was stalking somebody else's Instagram account. Oops. They're going to be like, why is this random person liking all my pictures?
Yeah, I know. Well, after a while, you look at all these.
I think that for us, you know, I think that, like, you know, it's really cool when you can find small businesses like that to support who really make a difference, who just don't have other ways of getting their word out there. They can't afford advertising. They don't have a lot of money for marketing. They can't afford to hire a marketing firm. So, you know, we're really passionate about providing content or anything that we can do to help people for free. You know, we got plenty of clients who can pay us. We offer to do a lot of stuff for free for people. And we have two campaigns going this week that we've done complimentary for small business owners that we just love and want to get behind. The big thing I would say, like two really important things is, number one, find out influencers who are a part of the community that you're targeting. That's the number one most important thing. And find influencers who are authentic. So look at people who have like authentic followings and have good conversations going in their comment sections and things like that. You can see it. It's pretty easy to identify.
Right.
And then number three, don't just get an influencer to partner with you. Get like 100, like, you know, hire an intern who's working for free and get 100 influencers, because getting influencers at scale, there's always going to be a few bad apples, right, in any bunch of anything that you do in life. So the reality is, like, if you have 100 influencers that you're engaged in and you have a consistent strategy, then you really get word of mouth going about your brand. That's the power of influencers
right.
for brands.
Right, right. So sometimes it's a lot more affordable and economical to go with that than to go with a huge advertising campaign that usually small businesses cannot afford.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely. And you're also seeing big brands do it as well, because it's grassroots, it's community focused, which is really the heartbeat of what we do with both of our companies, right? We're really focused on helping build community and connection, because it's difficult, y'all. Like, being an entrepreneur, being a creator, you give so much of your heart and you're balancing so many things. You're building products, you're testing them. You're also going out and posting about it. You're engaging with community. You're trying to attend trade shows to sell your product to the right buyers. I mean, there's so many little pieces along the way, and it's just so important to be able to work together and support one another and come from a place of positivity. And and just, you know, lifting one another up, I think, is really the most important thing.
Right. I really agree with that too. Plus, like, people also don't think about, until people get to a certain point, they also have to work survival jobs on top of everything else.
Right.
So they're really fitting so much into their schedule. You know, it's like an around the clock job.
Absolutely. And then they're still trying to find time for their families to be able to, I don't know, have a little self-care moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
yes.
really what we've really been passionate about helping you find, is that balance, right? Because it's so important, and it really does change the game. From abundance, we're able to give. But so many times we go through seasons of life when we don't have that. And so it's just been such an honor to work with so many awesome brands and so many influencers and celebrities to help them come together. And of course, with the mockumentary, we're disappointed with the narrative, but the message, I think, stands true. And that is that we're all working together to do the best we can. And, you know, occasionally you have people coming in and sharing their own opinions of that. But that's okay, because that's what makes it a beautiful collaboration. We all have a different experience.
I love
and
that.
I think, ironically, Dominique, you know, if you look at her Instagram now, like, it's, you know, she's really enjoying being an influencer.
Yeah, she truly is one.
But if you can see by the end of even the show, she goes through quite a transformation,
right.
You know, where you can see that she was really enjoying being an influencer. So I think that, you know, that there's something to be said for that. And of course, she's probably picking up a lot of real followers now. And,
right.
and you know, now that she's, you know, been the subject of a HBO show. So I think it's, you know, the thing for me is, I think that the McCordless has always been like a church, I feel like, for the girls, a place to, or synagogue, or a place of rest. And so it hurt me, honestly, like, for Rachel and the community that there was someone who kind of came in to make a mockumentary around. And that's really why we wanted to sort of come out and have a voice, you know, for the underdogs here, the influencers, in the case of this documentary. Because, you know, we really just want to support and let them know they're loved and stand up for them.
Yeah, and a lot of the influencers who participated have been messaging me about it. But that's the beautiful thing about community. They know they can reach out. They know I'm there for them. And, hey, we get over these things together. This isn't the first mockumentary about influencers. It's not the first time someone's trashed our industry. But I think that the most beautiful thing about it is, hey, if you look at the results, people who engage influencers are 11 times more successful than brands that don't. So the stats are there, and there's a reason why it's held on strong. You're going to have old school Hollywood and old school entertainment uncomfortable with it. I mean, obviously, like, Rick and I both have worked in traditional Hollywood before we, you know, opened up this avenue of our careers. And it's just, you know, it's part of the game. Everyone, you know, it's a little scary. It's like Bitcoin, right? It's like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden Bitcoin's worth $47,000 a share. And you're like, oh, okay.
I think that, like, Nick is sort of an older school journalist who, you know, whatever. He seems like he has an axe to grind. I don't know. Maybe he's just exploring and has one. Maybe he'll have another documentary that'll show the other side down the line. So we would love to see him or HBO show, like, the expand and explore the other side. But we're honored to be in our business and help influencers. And I'm more honored to love on my wife, as she's doing awesome things with McCordless and encouraging women. So we're grateful.
So we got the McCordless and we got the Viral Brand Agency. And so tell people how they can get a hold of you if they want your services. Obviously, you guys know what you're doing. You know what you're talking about. And you can help businesses and influencers get to the next level, obviously. So how can people find you? How can people follow you? Go ahead.
Absolutely. So I give away a digital copy of my book that I wrote. It's all about breaking into entertainment and social media without breaking you. It's called Slay the Fame Game, and you can get a copy of
it.
You can get a copy of it, and you can also join our community at themccordlist.com. Mm-hmm. And I'm all over Instagram at I am Rachel McCord.
Sounds good.
You can check out Viral Brand is my agency is viralbrand.com. Viralbrand.com and my on Instagram you can find me at just at Rick Shermer, just my personal, it's S-C-H-I-R-M-E-R, and then at Viral Brand on Instagram as well, .io. But we're, you know, we're always available, you know, for to consult, you know, folks on just a free level or, you know, a work level. We just love helping people, you know, as they're on their journeys.
They'll literally do a complimentary analysis of your Instagram to see who your notable followers are. Like, I didn't even know that Paris Hilton followed me after this thing we did together until he did this assessment. So it's really cool, and I highly recommend it to anyone who has at least 1,000 followers on their Instagram, because they can learn a lot about the communities who support them, about the messages, the trending topics surrounding their brand, and learn about their competitors.
Sam, really cool. If you guys would like to, I'd be happy to do that for you guys too. We actually, our team, we developed the software that uses artificial intelligence and helps us go through and assess the credibility of the Instagram account, as well as those influential followers, trending topics, and threads that are relevant to help you build your fan base.
Wow, this
I love
is
that
cool.
so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You guys are obviously professionals, and it's good to know you. As you know, people can have someone like you on their side. You know, where you can actually show them that this thing works, and you know, you can grow it. You know, and get the influence you want out there. And you know, I think. You know, I mean, look, this is like for the real people that get the following and stuff, they get it because they deserve it. They do invest a lot of themselves in it, you know, often opening up their lives to the whole world and stuff. And I think they earn it, you know. It's not just, and with the documentary, they wanted to show that, hey, anybody can do it if we just fake it and all that stuff, but there's a whole real world out there, you know?
And I love to hear about how your concerns about the way people are doing it and how they're living. I think it's a really healthy approach to an industry that definitely needs a healthy approach.
Right. Especially for the younger people. Thank you. We were talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the statistics are so sad, and just the effects of social media when it's not done within community and not done right. And the beautiful thing is that with every opportunity, there really is a chance for you to make it positive, to make it work and fit for you in your life. And you should do it. You should do it on your terms. And we love helping brands, and I love helping celebrities and influencers do that. So thank you both so much for having us on your show.
Yeah,
thank you.
You guys have the best hearts. We really appreciate your all's hearts, you know, for the underdogs here, and we're honored to be on your show. I can't wait to meet you guys in person.
Thank you.
We spend our time
between
LA and Vegas.
Yeah,
we're in LA and Vegas all the time, but I know you guys are in LA. So once COVID dies down a little bit, we'll get
yeah, come on to the studio and everything. That would be awesome.
Love
you know,
to.
that's one thing we're missing a lot is having people in the studio. You know, but yeah, it is what it is. You know.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Thank you
well,
so much. Shabbat
Rick Shermer, thank you, and Rachel McCord, thank you so much for joining us this morning. All the best to you, and much continued success to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Shabbat shalom.
Bye.
Take care.
Wow.
Nice. I like how he threw a Shabbat Shalom in at the end.
I know, right? That was good.
That was good. He was like, yeah, you recently went to Israel
the
and you have a dog.
Of the show.
I was like, I think he's got the wrong Jen. I wonder what other Jen,
I don't know.
There's right. actually a few Balinskys on the East Coast. There's one in Canada. And there's one in Russia, but none of them are related.
Oh,
I don't think.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know.
Well, who knows?
Fun
you know?
Fact.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, maybe we are related. I don't know. You never know, right?
But yeah, I mean, you know, there's Israel is a very cool place. It's very nice.
Oh, it's
people
awesome.
Love to go there, you know, that's
yeah.
for sure.
I had 10 days there doing Birthright,
Yeah.
And it was definitely too short. And they pack your days
so much.
You're hustling through everything. I just get a taste of everything.
And it's exhausting, right? I mean, you walk a lot and you hike and all this stuff.
Yeah. And you're also like, I don't know. I get exhausted having to like sit on a bus for a long time. You know, that tires me more than being able to see things. But
yeah. Well, that's part of it. You know, at least you don't spend a lot of time because it's such a small country, you know?
Yeah. I got home. Yeah. I was like, I needed like a week to recover. Relax.
I know. Both my kids went at separate times, and both times I flew to Israel too, so I could see them and show them where I grew up afterwards, you know.
Oh, that's
after
awesome.
Their trip. So that was nice, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been back in a while. Well, maybe it's time to go visit. I just, the 14-hour flight, man, I can't deal with it.
Yeah, it's
I
rough.
I don't think I can, you know.
Yeah, plus the weird food they give you on that flight. it's the kosher meal is...
Oh, well, that's if you want it. I mean, you don't have to.
I know, that's all they offered us.
Maybe on El Al, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's why.
They were like, this is all... They had other meals, but they said for us, we weren't allowed to have any of the other meals.
Really?
They're like, you have to eat.
But I think El Al would be all kosher, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
You know? It's just that there's glatt kosher and there's all kinds of levels of kosher too.
Yeah.
And besides, if you didn't fly El Al, then maybe, you know, it's a moot point altogether.
Well, I think we flew Swiss Air and then El Al.
Okay, so there you go. You see, so
Swiss Air had lovely chocolate though that they passed out to us throughout the flight. That was excellent. Yeah.
You know what's funny is you talk about flight meals. I have a friend from childhood. And we correspond on, I mean, we're like sometimes in touch on Facebook, but we're friends of each other. And I see his posts. He's the CEO of the company that makes the food for the airplanes in Israel. So what they've done
now.
Did
you break it to him that it's what? That it's not amazing?
What, the food?
Yeah.
I don't know, but look what they're doing. They since they stopped all the flights and everything, they were stuck not being able to employ their people.
Sure.
So what they did, they came up with something really clever, I think, and that is to sell these meals to people at home. You know?
All right.
Maybe it's not
like a
the
TV
best
dinner
food,
for home.
But apparently they feel it's pretty good food if people are buying it, you know, and stuff like that. So to feel like they're on a plate or something. I don't know, man. I don't know. But it works for them. And I salute them for doing that and trying to keep the people employed. You know, I mean,
it's
a huge company. You know,
for sure.
Yeah,
that's good. Mm. I was told I have some friends who are flight attendants, and they always said don't ever drink the coffee on a flight because it comes from this like water basin that they never change the water.
Oh my
or
God,
clean it.
Really?
Yeah. So they were like,
jeez.
Ask any flight attendant, should I have the coffee? And they'll be like, no, don't do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Flights.
I know. That's why I don't fly much.
I'm going to be flying on Sunday.
Yes, you are.
I hate it every time. Every time. The whole time I'm just like, every bit of turbulence, I'm like, well, this is it.
There we go.
Yeah. Like, this is how it ends.
A tin can in the sky.
Oh, the nerves.
Are you flying at least direct or do you have to...
Oh, direct. No to be stops. Honest with you, I'm not a huge Spirit fan because... It's Spirit, but their flights are cheap, and they're one of the only airlines that's doing direct flights right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I have on my Amex, I get Delta points.
Right.
I couldn't find any Delta direct flights.
Like non-stop.
American was no direct, and I'm not taking a five-hour flight and turning it into a 10-hour travel.
Yeah, that's too much.
I'm not doing it, you know? So I'm like, all right, I guess I'll just save a bunch of money and fly Spirit.
True.
And, you know, it's fine. It's fine. It's not the best. It's always a lot of really loud people or people playing. It's like being on the train in New York. That's what Spirit
really?
Is like. Yeah.
So you're saying that there's like certain characteristics to each airline where you can tell on the plane where you are?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like when I...
I mean, do people decide they're going to get noisy on Spirit and not on American Airlines?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because on Spirit, you have people like playing their music without headphones and there's always like... I don't know. It's just a different.
How is it possible? Nobody tells them anything. Is that the reason?
I don't know. It's a loaded answer. It's a loaded answer.
I never even thought about that. You know, I thought all planes.
I think
the
it's
same.
A class thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought all planes were the same, but what do I know, right?
Yeah.
I don't fly enough.
I mean, when I fly, what was it? Delta? It's so lovely.
Yeah.
It's so peaceful and lovely. And they give you like sanitizing wipes to wipe everything down when you get on the plane. Uh-huh. And there's a TV on the back of the seat. And they give you snacks for free. And like the bathrooms are clean. And there's like not usually any screaming children. Spirit is, it's a zoo.
Really?
It's a zoo in the sky.
Jeez.
It's a human zoo.
So it's like a value type of airline, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
It's a rough go.
Well, it's 5 hours each way, and you'll be fine.
I have my earplanes in, though. These things that they balance the air pressure in your ears so that your ears don't pop. I can't fly without them.
Yeah.
And that helps.
Really?
Block out the sound.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How does it do that to your ears that they don't pop?
It's got this like kind of like fanned out material. It's kind of like a rubber, kind of like a plastic. And you just have to like lift your ear up so it opens the canal. You shove them in and then let your ear go. And it just equalizes the pressure.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Because I hate for me, it's the pain of having that happen during the entire flight, plus during descent. Uh-huh. But it's also dealing with the recovery of it for like the next day.
Right.
Or two.
Sometimes it does, you know. And to me, sometimes you feel like you have water in your ears for like 2 weeks after. You know?
No, get earplanes. They're the best things.
Yeah.
They're the best.
Earplanes,
yeah.
Oh.
I've been using them since I was probably 12 or so.
I never even knew they existed.
Yeah. My sister, her ears pop really bad to the point where she'll pretty much cry on flights. Yeah. I've definitely seen her in bad shape on flights. And she started using earplanes and she told me about them. And now I don't fly without them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Get them at Target, though. Don't get them at the airport. They're so expensive at the airport.
Yeah, I'm sure. Wow.
Yeah.
So you'll be bringing back your cats with you? You happy?
So happy.
Yeah.
I'm nervous, but I'm happy.
Why?
I'm nervous because I have to go one by one with them through security. And cats don't take well to like change and travel. And I don't want them to scratch my friends. So I have to figure out how to like go through and then come back and get the other one. And
right.
We'll Pain see. I'm going to have them on leashes, though. So hopefully they can be on... I can walk them through or something. I hope I don't have to take off the harness. If I have to take off the harness, I'm just going to die.
Well, but people do it all the time. I'm sure they figured it out in security.
I know,
no?
But cats are so wiggly and slippery.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
The last thing I need is my cat freaking out and getting lost in the airport.
Oh, God.
Imagine.
So wouldn't it be best for them just to stay in their cages?
That's what I think. But to go through security, they're afraid that you're going to like smuggle heroin under
so you
your
have to
cat.
Take them out and walk through with them?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before.
It'll be a nice little moment to give them a little squish.
Yeah. But I've never seen that at the airport. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, meow.
And your friend's coming back with you?
She's coming back with me.
How long is she going to be here with you?
Just like 3 or 4 days.
Oh, okay.
It's a quick trip.
That'll be nice.
Yeah.
You get to show her L.A. and stuff? Huh?
Yes. I'm excited because she lives in New York and I'm like, you hate New York. She's like, I don't hate New York. And I'm like, everything you say proves that you hate New York. I'm like, come to LA.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, because she's such a ball of sunshine anyway. She's like a yoga person and all that stuff. I'm like, LA is New York's for the birds.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Maybe she'll want to move here with you.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
Mm. Yeah.
All right.
Be so good.
Yeah. It would be nice. I'm jealous. I'd like to have a friend or somebody come to visit me here.
Right?
Yeah, so I don't have to go over there.
Well, you know, this wouldn't really work for visits, but if you're lonely, there's a website that you can find prison inmates and be
and
pen
write
pals.
To them, pen pals with
yeah.
them?
Yeah.
Oh, whoop-de-doo. That's a good idea.
It is,
That's
right?
what I'm going to do. I'm not that lonely.
Oh, my God. There's a few women on TikTok that do it.
I'm sure.
That I follow, and some of them are like, I think I'm falling in love.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're not allowed to talk about what they're in for or anything like that. And I'm like, I don't know about that. I don't know.
Jeez. Well, some people are really desperate, I guess, you know, for company, for love, for anything.
It's a nice idea, but there's enough stuff going on in the actual
world. Yeah, what are the
world.
Chances of it working out, you know? I mean, it doesn't sound like any... better than a long distance relationship where you don't get to see the person.
Plus, when you start seeing somebody, how are you going to tell them that you're like pen pals with some guy in prison?
Right.
And how do you stop being pen pals with some guy in prison?
Yeah.
You know? Like, how do you stop doing that?
God.
You don't want to just ghost them because, you know, that's like their whole world. Their world is smaller because they're just in there, you know? That would hurt.
I know. What a terrible way to live.
Yeah, especially American prison.
Well, there's worse, I'm sure.
Oh, there's definitely worse, but we do nothing to
prison is
to
not
rehab.
Supposed to be that's supposed to be a pleasant place, I suppose.
No, but it's supposed to be rehabilitation in some ways.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know. All right, everybody. Jen, thank you.
That's it?
Have a safe trip.
Wow.
Thank you to Rachel and Rick who called in.
Thanks, Rachel and Rick.
Check them out, folks, if you want to make it in social media. This is the place to go. Also, if you want to promote your businesses and everything, I might actually contact them, see what they can do for us. I'm always open to new ideas.
Same.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, well. All right, folks. So we're going to be gone next week. We'll run replays. But after that, we'll be back with more new shows. Jen will have some stories from New York probably for us. How long are you going to be in New York?
I'm going to be in Jersey, actually. I'm flying into Philly.
So for a week, you're going to be there or something?
No, I'm going to be Sunday and then flying back Thursday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you'll get some nice weather too, right? Some snowy weather.
Some snow, yeah, hopefully. Yeah. I hope it snows
a
little bit.
Some nice winter weather, I mean.
Yes. It would be nice if it like blizzard on Monday.
Right.
You know, and then I had a couple days to enjoy it.
Right. You just stay home on a snow day.
Yeah, great. I love that. It's amazing.
You see, so you don't hate New York completely.
I hate New York. I like New Jersey.
Oh, New Jersey. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I won't mention New York anymore. It's New Jersey from now on.
It's not New York.
Okay.
I just lived in New York.
Oh, okay.
I know it all seems like the same, but I was like, my mom's house was almost 2 hours from New York.
Oh, wow.
So we were more Philadelphia.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, say hi to Philly for
us,
too.
It's a big difference.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you all for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jen.
Smell you later.
We'll see you soon. Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.